Welcome to our Thanksgiving service here at Community United Reformed Church. We are glad to be gathered together on this National Day of Thanksgiving to express our gratitude to our great God who has blessed us so abundantly. The format for our service, if you look at our order of worship, the choir has called us to worship and opened our service with many words from the Psalms calling us to praise. And the rest of our service, we will be working through a few of those Psalms that the choir sang for us. We call this service the Festival of Psalms. We'll be looking at three psalms this morning. There'll be a short meditation on each one and a short prayer following each psalm. You can follow along in the bulletin you were handed as you came in. But let us continue giving thanks and praise to our God by turning in our Trinity Psalter hymnals to number 552. You'll find this burgundy hymnal in the rack in front of you. And we'll sing number 552, Come, Ye Thankful People, Come. And we'll sing the first and the last stanzas 1 and 4 of number 552. Loving God, we come into your presence this morning to give you thanks. We thank you for our eyes. Teach us to see your world and each other as you do. Give us eyes of compassion and love for each other and for your world. Thank you for our ears. Make us quick to listen to what you are saying to us and also quick to listen to each other. Thank you for our minds. Help us to develop the mind of Christ. We ask for your wisdom as we make decisions. Thank you for our voices. May we always speak the truth in love and sing your praises with joy. Amen. Now lift up your hearts and receive God's blessing. Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, Amen. And now let's turn back in our Trinity Psalter hymnals to number 553. Number 553, Sing to the Lord of Harvest. And here we will also sing stanzas 1 and 4, stanzas 1 and 4 of number 553. Good to be here today on this Thanksgiving Day morning. If you don't know me, I'm Pastor Steve Swetz, a pastor at Rehoboth United Reformed Church in Hamilton, Ontario. And I'm a son of this congregation, so it's always wonderful to be back and see so many familiar faces. We're going to open God's Word this morning to Psalm 145. We'll be looking at Psalm 145, 146, 147 this morning. I've been tasked with the privilege of giving a short meditation on Psalm 145. So if you'd like to turn your pew Bible there, it's page 524. Psalm 145, this is the Word of God. A song of praise of David. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty, and on your wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness, and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds, and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations.
The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of the Lord look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. There is a reading of God's holy word. May add his blessing to it. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, on this Thanksgiving Day 2019, what are you thankful for? It is the tradition in our family on Thanksgiving Day to go around the table and list one or two things that everybody is faithful for. And each year, some of the same themes come up. We're thankful for family, we're thankful for school, thankful for friends, for food. In other years, there might be something unique. Yet in Psalm 145, we're going to see five things that we can be thankful for, and they never change. From year to year, they remain the same. They do not alter, they do not change course. And the reason is because they are connected to the very character of God himself, who is the unchanging, holy, and righteous, eternal God. Times change, people change, there's so many moving things going on in the world around us, but God does not change. And these five characteristics of God move his people to worship him, to praise his holy name, the very reason that we're here this morning. If you look back at the beginning of the psalm begins and ends with bookends of praise to the living God. In verses 1 and 2, it's a personal. Notice the use of the word I will extol you, I will bless you. And then it moves on in verse 3, and it's a general praise of God. Verse 4, one generation, it's a multi-generational father to the son. Continued on generation after generation in God's covenant of praising God. And the psalm ends with a call to all flesh to bless his holy name forever and ever. But why? Why should God bless his, or why should God's people bless his name forever and ever? And the first reason is because of God's majesty in verses 5 and 7. Thanksgiving offers us an opportunity to slow down for a moment in the busyness of our lives, and just stop and think for a moment. Think of the works of the Lord, the awesome deeds the Lord God has done. We can look around us in this world, we can look at the stars in the sky and marvel at the greatness, the vastness, the majesty, the power of a mighty river or a rough sea or lake, the height of a mountain. All around us, we can see the majesty of God. We can look in the scriptures. We can look in church history, and we can see the great works of God from creation, from the delivering the people out of Egypt, the crossing of the Red Sea, the victories that God won for Israel. And we can see the greatest sign and showing of God's majesty, the height of God's great work in redeeming a people for himself in Jesus Christ. In the work, the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What do we sing in verse 7? They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. God's righteousness, not our righteousness. A righteousness of God displayed so clearly at Calvary, where God poured forth his righteousness in being a loving and a righteous God altogether in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. A Savior who suffered and died, though he himself was sinless, for those who were sinners. The substitute. The majesty of God's work. The majesty. Second, we see God's mercy in verses 8 and 9. What a beautiful summary of God's love and care for what he's made. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Verse 9, the Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. There's a particular focus here, and a general focus. And the particular focus is on God's grace and mercy in the work of Jesus Christ. But it's not only there. God was gracious and merciful before Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem and after. It goes beyond simply an individual salvation. Our confession calls God the overflowing fountain of all good. The mercy of God is great, and it upholds all that He has made. God gives rain to the just and to the unjust alike. The blessing bestowed upon the elect in this world flow out and impact everything else in this world. Think about our own nation. A nation which maybe had many Christian founding fathers, but not a nation anymore that could be called Christian. And yet, there is a general understanding of justice, of law, of order, of civility, of etiquette. All of these things, where do they come from? They're all flowing out of the gospel. They're all rooted in the Word of God. God shows us His majesty. God shows us His mercy. In the third place, we see God's honor, verses 10 to 12. God's honor moves us to worship. All your works shall give thanks to you. We see these terms, give thanks, bless, speak and tell of glory and power, make known. These words convey the calling that all of God's people have in the praising of Almighty God and of telling others about Him. Happy Thanksgiving. What are you thankful for? What do you think the world is thankful for? Stuff. Things. But stuff and things can be taken away in an instant. You can't rely on them. You can't trust in them. I have a job. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for a bank account. I'm thankful for a home. It can all be gone in one instant. Is there nothing deeper to be thankful for? God's Word teaches us something different. Be thankful for God Himself, who has revealed Himself in the majesty and the beauty of His own character. God shows His honor. God calls us to share that, to tell others. All those God brings in our lives. He does not bring a single person into your life for no purpose. Nothing is happening by chance, but God brings people into your lives. In verse 12, we read, to make known to the children of man all your mighty deeds. The children of man, who is that? That is not referring to the covenant people of God. It's referring to all. To all that God may bring into our life. From the one who seems to be kind of like me, to the one who seems very, very different. Think about the early chapters of John. Chapter 3, very well-known chapter. Jesus, at night, is visited by somebody named Nicodemus, one of the highest-ranking members of society. This would be like a senator, maybe even the president, coming to visit Jesus at night. And Jesus explains to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And then the next chapter, in John chapter 4, he meets a woman at the well at midday. Why was she there at midday? She wasn't even allowed to go there in the morning, likely. She was not accepted by her peers. She had had five husbands, and she's living with someone who's not her husband at all. In those two situations of two opposite extremes, both of them, Nicodemus and the woman at the well in Samaria, both needed the very same thing. They both needed the gospel of Jesus Christ. And without it, there was an emptiness. They needed to hear of the Savior. They needed the hope of everlasting life. For one, told to be born again. For the other, living water, that if you drink of it, you will never be thirsty again. The fourth characteristic we see is God's kingship, verses 11 and 13. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom. They shall tell of your power. Verse 13, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. What is the glory of God's kingdom, as is mentioned here in our text? Is this talking about the nation of Israel, the one that is in Palestine? No. This psalm was attributed to David. The prescript to the psalms is a song of praise of David. But even as David is the author of this psalm, inspired by the Holy Spirit, David, as you know, was the second king of Israel. But this refers to an everlasting kingdom. Because you know what happened to Israel. 722, 586 BC, they're gone. Israel and Judah are gone. And then they be reestablished something as a nation under Roman rule. AD 70, gone again. Temple destroyed. What kind of kingdom is that? It's not a kingdom made by the hands of men. It's the kingdom of God. It's called an everlasting kingdom. It's a dominion that endures throughout all generations, and it will never end. This echoes Isaiah 9, 6 to 7. But we think probably of a Christmas messianic passage. Speaks true to this psalm. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, and on the throne of God and over his kingdom to establish it, to uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. That is the King. The very one who Advent starts on Sunday, the very one you'll be thinking about being born in Bethlehem is the King that will forever sit upon the throne, the King right now who is Lord over every single thing on this earth. Whether or not human beings give credence to the great King, he's still King. He's still Lord. The eternal King has an eternal kingdom. And then the fifth characteristic we see is God's care, verses 14 to 20. And here we see the sympathetic providence of God. He upholds the weak and the lowly. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And probably in each row here, there represented great hurts and great brokenness, whether it's in your own family, extended family, dear friends, whether it's sickness, loneliness, whatever it might be. Psalm 145 says that God upholds the lowly. The needy look to him. And the picture here painted of God by the psalmist is a picture painted of love and of compassion. Those who call upon him are drawn near. When we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we are praying for more than food upon the table. That prayer encompasses everything we need for body and soul. And so today, remember that. And as you go home and you enjoy a meal with your family or with your friends or whatever it might be, whatever you might be doing today, remember that it is God who provides every single thing. And God will provide all that we need for body and soul. But the provision of God is not even centered on something as fading as food, or of homes, or of things. Our only comfort in life and in death is that we belong to Jesus Christ. That is our comfort, and that can never be taken away. He bought us, and he keeps us in his providential care. We'll stop and reflect on the character and mercy of God this Thanksgiving. Repent and trust. Look to the Lord and praise his name. Our psalm says, the Lord is near all who call on him. And so call on the Lord. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Amen. We're going to sing now. It's Psalm 145C. Psalm 145C, I will extol you, O my God. We're going to remain seated to sing.
Let's go to our God in prayer. Dear Lord, we come before you this morning to thank you for the many physical blessings in our lives. We first of all thank you for the homes that you've given to us. Our homes give us protection from the cold winters, as well as relief from the hot summer days. Our homes give us a sense of comfort and peace, a place to lay our heads down at night. We thank you for food and drink, which give us the strength to go through each day. Lord, shelter and food are life essentials that you bless us with, but we know there are so many that struggle to find shelter or go hungry every day. We pray that you give these people what they stand in need of. We also thank you for the blessing of family. We thank you for sons and daughters, moms and dads, brothers and sisters, grandparents, grandchildren. We're so grateful to have so many of these people in our lives. People we can go to in times of sorrow or despair, or in times of joy and happiness. We also thank you for our church family, for brothers and sisters in Christ who are there for us in time of need. We pray for those families. We pray for those who don't have families to lean on or don't have a loving Christian community surrounding them. Give these people a sense of comfort and peace that only you can give. We also want to say thank you for the good health that you've blessed us with. We know there are health concerns both in this church and so many people around the world, but oftentimes we forget to say thank you for our own personal health and for those around us. We know that this can change in the blink of an eye, and so we thank you, Lord, for the continued healthy lives that you've given to so many of us. Lord, we also want to say thank you for the blessing of Christian education. We are truly blessed to have so many options to send our kids to. We pray that you continue to bless our local schools, both spiritually and financially. Please guard these schools from the temptations of the world, that they might always keep Jesus Christ as the center and focus. Please watch over our covenant children and give them the instruction to carry out your word in the years to come. Lord, we also want to thank you for this country that we live in. We know that whoever is in office and is serving as president was chosen and elected for a reason. We pray that you guide their decisions, that they might strive to live lives pleasing in your sight and according to your will. We thank you so much for the freedom of religion that we have the privilege of enjoying each and every day. We know that so many people in this world are persecuted for what they believe in. So we ask that you watch over them, keep them safe from all danger, but above all, we pray that you give them the courage to stand up for their beliefs. We also thank you this morning for your beautiful creation that you've given mankind to enjoy and rule over. We thank you for the rain that enriches the soil, the sun that nourishes the crops, for the animals and trees for us to enjoy. We are in awe of the beauty of your creation, and we pray that all of these things point us to the glorious and splendid name of Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to never take any of these things for granted, for we know that these are all blessings from your hand. Help us to say a prayer of thanksgiving every day, for we know we are truly a blessed people. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Psalm 145 ends on a call to praise. The remaining five psalms are often called the Hallelujah Psalms because they begin and they end with the refrain, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. So our second psalm this evening is Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. The song addresses that we should praise the Lord, and specifically, we should praise the Lord because he is worthy of our trust, because the Lord has revealed his character as trustworthy. How do you know who you can trust? Well, you could listen to the words of a person, but even more, you know who you trust as you see the actions of that person. Because a person could tell you that they're a trustworthy person until they're blue in the face, but if you've just caught them red-handed with their hand in your purse stealing your money, you're probably not going to believe them. By their actions, they've eroded any trust that you had in them. They've destroyed that trust. So who are you going to trust? The psalmist has no question who he is going to trust. He begins this psalm with this, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have beings, while I have being." Why will he praise the Lord? Because the Lord has revealed himself as worthy of this trust. By his words and by his actions, the Lord has revealed that he is worthy of this trust. And so the psalmist rejects trust in mankind in verses 3 through 4. "Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish." If your trust is in mankind, if today as we think of all the things we're thankful for, if the main thing we're thankful for and we look to, we hope to, is the strength of man, of our nation, of our politicians, or of any other member of mankind, you're going to be disappointed. Because even the most powerful and wealthy nation in the world is filled with injustice, filled with many hurts, many sorrows. Those who promise a better future are proven to be unable to bring it about. Politicians let you down. Science is fallible. Modern medicine can offer cures that look miraculous, but in the end, cannot prolong death indefinitely in the end. Your heroes are shown to have feet of clay. Even with the best intentions, they fail because they're sinners. Like you, like me, and eventually all mankind dies. Dust returns to dust. Plans and aspirations, even the most noble plans, end when the person passes away. So if your hope is in mankind, you're going to be disappointed. If all of your trust, all of your hope is in this one person that you know to bring about happiness, to bring about what you look for, in the end, it leads to disappointment and despair. So rather than trusting in mankind, the psalmist proclaims that he will trust in the Lord because as the Lord has shown himself, as the Lord has revealed himself, he is worthy of this trust. The psalmist looks back on history, what the Lord has done, what he's seen the Lord reveal of himself. In verse 6, "God made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and keeps faith forever." Creation sings the praises of the Lord. Creation calls us to put our trust in the Lord because the world is his and all therein. He is a God of justice. He brings justice for the oppressed in verses 7 through 9. He feeds the hungry. He sets the prisoners free, opens the eyes of the blind, lifts up those who are bowed down, watches over sojourners, upholds the widow the fatherless, takes what sin has made wrong and cares for those who are weak, those who are helpless. He takes what's wrong and makes it right by redeeming us by the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. And this is not just words. Trust the Lord because he says so, but also the deeds of the Lord. Trust the Lord because of what he has done. This list of things that the psalmist proclaims is very similar to a list in Isaiah 61 that Jesus quotes as he begins his ministry in Luke 4, where he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus then says, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The psalmist says to not put your trust in a son of man in whom there is no salvation. But as we look at the New Testament, as we look to Christ, we see that there is the Son of Man in whom there is salvation. The only one who can offer the hope that the psalmist looks for, only Jesus Christ, who comes not in a place of power and prestige, but born in a manger. Not born to luxury, but to a life of suffering, to an eventual death for sins not his own, and a resurrection to reign eternally. In his death and resurrection, Christ shows by his actions that he is worthy of our trust, shows God's character is indeed trustworthy. Christ comes to bring the redemption that the psalm looks to save his people from their sin, to heal what was broken and to roll back the effects of sin, and eventually to bring justice eternally, to reign eternally. And the psalm ends with this confidence that the Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations. The Lord will reign forever. The justice the psalmist proclaims is not just empty promises. It's not just rolling the dice on an uncertainty, wishing on another hero who may let you down, but it is confidence in the Lord who reveals himself, the Lord who cares for his people, who loves justice and mercy, who reveals himself as trustworthy, acting in history, creating the universe and then redeeming his people by the blood of his own Son. And unlike any earthly leader whose life and work is cut short by death, this king reigns eternally and therefore offers eternal hope, eternal security, and is worthy of trust now and forevermore. God alone is utterly good, powerful, and trustworthy, the only one about whom we can honestly say, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord, amen." Let us sing together from the words of the same song, from Psalm 146, stanzas 1 and 4. Psalm 146, stanzas 1 and 4, standing to sing.
Let us now pray and give thanks for God's great deeds. Our great God, Psalm 146 calls us to praise you as long as we live. We gladly take the opportunity of this day of thanksgiving to sing praises to you with all of our being. You are the God who made the heavens and the earth. You created all this universe from nothing, and you uphold it by your mighty hand and your fatherly care. We thank you for the beauty and wonder of creation in earth and sky and sea. You are faithful forever. Your mercies are new every morning. We thank you for all that is gracious in the lives of men and women. We thank you for minds to think and hearts to love and hands to serve. You give food to the hungry. You set the prisoners free. You open the eyes of the blind. You lift up those who are bowed down. You watch over the sojourners. You uphold the widow and the fatherless. You are a God who cares, who redeems, who rescues. You are a God who performs great deeds even when we are so lost. We thank you for disappointments and failures that lead us to acknowledge our dependence on you alone. Above all, we praise you for the great deeds you have done for us in Christ. You loved us while we were still sinners, while we were still enemies. You made him new, no sin to be sin for us. You gave up your precious son to death on the cross so that we could be adopted as sons and daughters. You give new life to us who were dead in our trespasses and sins. You began a good work in us, and you will be faithful to complete it. You will never leave us or forsake us, but remain faithful in the work of maturing us and transforming us into the image of Christ. You reign forever, and you work all things for our good. Our Father, we praise you for your great deeds. Give us the grace of your Spirit that we may know Jesus and make him known. And through him, at all times and in all places, may we give thanks to you in all things. Amen.
For our final psalm this morning, I invite you to turn with me to Psalm 147. Psalm 147, it's on page 525 in your Pew Edition Bible. Psalm 147. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant, and a song of praise is fitting. The Lord builds up Jerusalem, he gathers the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars, he gives to all of them their names. Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make melody to our God on the lyre. He covers the heavens with clouds. He prepares rain for the earth. He makes grass grow on the hills. He gives to the beasts their food and to the young ravens that cry. His delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor his pleasure in the legs of a man, but the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his steadfast love. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion, for he strengthens the bars of your gates. He blesses your children within you. He makes peace in your borders. He fills you with the finest of the wheat. He sends out his command to the earth. His word runs swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters frost like ashes. He hurls down his crystals of ice like crumbs. Who can stand before his cold? He sends out his word and melts them. He makes his wind blow and the waters flow. He declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and rules to Israel. He has not dealt thus with any other nation. They do not know his rules. Praise the Lord. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Beloved, one of my favorite moments in C.S. Lewis's Chronicles of Narnia series comes when these children from Britain who have been whisked off to Narnia, which is this land of magic and witches and talking animals. So it's a very strange place, and they've been kind of adopted by this this family of talking beavers. They're showing them around this magical land. They're trying to protect them from the witch. And eventually they say, we're going to bring you to the king, King Aslan. And these children say, oh, finally, we're going to meet another human being. I mean, this is a very foreign place, a very strange place. They're like, oh, great, we're going to finally see another human being instead of all these talking animals and trees and whatnot. And then Mr. Beaver says to them, well, the king is not a man. The king is a lion. And the children are a little afraid. I mean, they're about to come face to face with a lion. So they ask, well, is he safe? Is he a tame lion? And Mr. Beaver says, of course he isn't safe. The king is a lion. He's not safe, but he is good. And he is our king. Of course, the author C.S. Lewis in that conversation is trying to make a comment on the nature of our God, the true king of this universe. He's not safe. He's not tame. He's not predictable. But he is good. That conversation from the Chronicles of Narnia is what came to my mind over and over again as I read Psalm 147 over these last few weeks. God isn't safe, but he's good. He's not tame, but he is kind. Look at what you might call the catalog of God's power. It begins in verse 7. Verse 8, God is the one who covers the heavens with the clouds. He prepares the rain to fall on the earth. Look down at verse 16. He's the one that gives snow like wool. He scatters frost like ashes. God is in control of all of these events. Verse 19, he hurls down his crystals of ice like crumbs. That's a reference to hail. Who can stand before his cold? Verse 18, he also controls the heat that melts the ice. And then, very appropriate for yesterday, he makes his wind blow. And then he makes the waters flow. This is the catalog of the things that God does. And then you can sum it up with what the psalmist says in verse 5. Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. The powers and abilities of our God are beyond our imagination. The things that God controls, the things in this catalog, they are beautiful things, but they can also be terrifying. Maybe they're beautiful and terrifying at the same time. I mean, think of the things that we saw in this catalog. The clouds that God puts in the skies, they can be beautiful. They can make beautiful pink and red and gold sunsets. We can lay in the grass on a summer day looking at the white fluffy clouds. It's beautiful. But also the clouds can cover the earth in darkness and dread and make it for a gray, sullen day. The snow that is mentioned in verse 16, that can be beautiful as we're sitting in our cozy house and watching it fall. But if you're caught out in it, you know, maybe driving on a slushy road or maybe you're out in the wilderness caught in a snowstorm, a blizzard, it can be terrifying. It can be dangerous. The same thing with the frost. The same thing with the hail, these crystals of ice falling from the sky. I mean, if your car is in the garage, it can be interesting to watch the hail. But if you're out in it or if your car is out, it might get dinged or the glass might get broken. It's terrifying. The cold, I mean, just think back to last winter, those sub-zero days. I mean, that's impressive. You know, it's nice to have Jack Frost nipping at our nose, but it's also terrifying. That can be extremely dangerous. And God is in control of all of this beautiful and terrifying stuff. It's beyond our understanding. All these things remind us how frail we are, how not in control we are, how much we're at the mercy of our environment. We like to tell ourselves, we're strong, we're safe, we got this. But really, we're not at all. That's what this psalm reminds us. We will never be able to control God, categorize God, understand God. He's not safe. He's not tame. And God doesn't use the categories we use. He doesn't operate according to our expectations. Verse 10 says, his delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor his pleasure in the legs of a man. Those are things that would have been strong in the days that this psalm was written. You know, a horse is a valuable asset. But what the psalm is saying is the things we think make us strong, the things that we think make us worthwhile, the things that we think will give us security and influence in our world, the things we build our lives around, our wealth, our power, our strength, our reputation, all those things, that's not how God looks at the world. He's not safe. He's not tame. He doesn't play according to our rules. But at the same time, Psalm 147, while giving us this big vision of God, it also goes to great lengths to tell us that this God is good and this God is kind. The God who covers the heavens with the clouds and prepares the rain for the earth is the God who, verse 9, gives the beasts their food. He gives to these young ravens that are unable to fend for themselves, he gives them the food when they cry. And after this whole catalog of snow and hail and rain and wind, the psalm says in verse 19, he declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and rules to Israel. This God, who is so far beyond our understanding, he takes the time to explain himself to us. We couldn't reason our way to him. We couldn't impress our way to him. We couldn't buy our way to him. But he's come to us. He's given us his word. He's told us, this is who I am. These are the things I care about. And the amazing thing is, on the list of things that God cares about, you're there. I'm there. Verse 20, he has not dealt thus with any other nation. We who know God are blessed indeed. The unseen has shown himself to us. The ununderstandable has explained himself to us. The unmoved mover has moved among us. The infinite has wrapped himself in humility, become flesh, and brought us to himself. Look at verse 11. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his steadfast love. Think about that. God takes pleasure in you today. When God is making a list of the things he's thankful for, which I don't know if he is celebrating Thanksgiving in the same way we are, but when he makes that list of things he's thankful for, you are on the list. So on this day of Thanksgiving, listen to the call of verse 1. Praise the Lord, for it's good. It's pleasant. Come, know this God. He's made himself known to you. He wants to be known by you. He invites you to spend not just today, but the rest of your life, the rest of eternity, exploring his kindness, his goodness. He's not safe. He's not tame. But he is oh so good and oh so kind. So come and see, come and taste his goodness. There's a catalog of the great works of God in the latter part of the psalm, but in the first part of the psalm, there's a catalog of the things he does for us. He builds up his people. He gathers in the outcasts. He heals the brokenhearted. He binds up their wounds. He's the one who counts the stars. He knows the name of every star, even the ones we don't even know exist. But he knows your name too. He knows you and loves you. The God who is great and abundant in power, the Lord whose understanding is beyond measure, takes time to notice you exactly as you are and love you, to care for you, to notice you, to love you in Jesus Christ. He lifts you up and calls you his. Be thankful. The God who imagined this whole universe, who has every star and every galaxy and every snowflake and every puff of wind at his fingertips, he holds you in his hands and takes pleasure in you. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let's sing a part of this psalm, Psalm 147b. Psalm 147b, O praise the Lord, for it is good. Psalm 147b, in your Trinity Psalter hymnal, we will sing only stanza 1, stanza 1 of Psalm 147b. lead us in a prayer. Elder John Sorok will lead us in a prayer of thanksgiving for the church.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the church that we confess is that community that's been chosen by you for eternal life, united in true faith, gathered by your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit and the Word, which he protects and preserves for himself against the rage of the whole world. We thank you that by your grace alone and the saving work of Christ alone, we are members of that church. We thank you for bringing us together in this particular gathering of Christian believers that we call Community United Reformed Church. Father, we thank you that we can pray together, that we can gather together to worship you and live in community together. We pray as a congregation that you'll be glorified in all things that we think, do, and say, both individually and as a congregation, that the name of Christ is exalted and that the Holy Spirit's power would fill our hearts, that he would guide all of our plans, actions, and activities. We thank you for our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we pray that by the power of the Spirit, we may continue to grow in our love and brotherly affection for each other. We pray that we may live together in a spirit of unity and a posture of humility, seeking to outdo each other in showing honor to our brothers and sisters in Christ. We pray that we may continually seek ways to encourage each other, to spur each other on to a greater love for you, for each other, and for the lost. We pray that the Holy Spirit will lead us to greater works of service. We thank you for the variety of gifts that you have given to each of our members and for their willingness to use these gifts to serve each other. We're thankful for those involved in our various music ministries, our outreach and fellowship activities, our discipleship opportunities, and the care and maintenance of our property, facilities, and technology which you have blessed us with. We're blessed by the desire of our members to gather together to study the Word, their willingness to teach the children and young people of the congregation in Sunday school, catechism, cadets, GEMS, and the Young People's Fellowship. We're thankful for all who willingly perform all manner of works of service within our congregation. We thank you for Reverend Ord and his ministry amongst us. We thank you that the Spirit led him to our pulpit, and we thank you for his faithful service to us during his time that he's been our minister. We thank you for the love that he and Raylene have poured out upon this congregation. Now, as Reverend Ord prayerfully considers a call to another pulpit, we pray that he'll be led by the Spirit to do your will. We pray that the Holy Spirit will lead Reverend and Raylene to the ministry that you've chosen for them. We're blessed that the Word is faithfully preached, the sacraments faithfully administered here at Community. We're thankful that the Holy Spirit works a desire in our hearts for biblically based and focused worship and congregational singing. We're thankful for faithful men who you've called to serve in the office of minister of the Word. We particularly think of the sons of our congregation who've been called into this office, our brother Reverend Steve Swetz, our brother Reverend Drew Eningenberg, and our brother Matt Niver. We ask you might bless them, their families, their ministries. We think also of those, and we thank you for those men who are in who you've called to prepare for the ministry. We think of our brother Calvin Teamstra and his wife Emily, who have been with us and who faithfully minister to us as they await the opportunity to go to Telqua, the call that Calvin has received and accepted. We think also, and thank you also for our brother Praveen, who is in the second year of his studies. We're thankful for the faithful men who have been called to serve in the offices of elder and deacon. We pray that they strive to fulfill the scriptural requirements of their office. Their hearts and minds are focused on faithfully discharging the duties and responsibilities of the respective offices, and with regard to the elders, that they seek to govern Christ's church according to the principles taught in Scripture as they minister to and shepherd our congregation, and as they work to ensure that all things are done decently and in good order. We thank you for the work of our deacons who faithfully supervise the works of Christian mercy, who exhort the congregation to show mercy, and who encourage and comfort with the Word of God those who receive gifts of Christ's mercy. Father, we pray that as a congregation, we might grow in being distinct from the world in love and in holy living. Teach us to live in such a way that Christ's name is honored in all that we do and say, and that we are always prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks us for a reason for the hope that is in us, doing so with gentleness and great respect. And Father, we pray all this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
And at this time, our deacons will come forward to receive our Thanksgiving offering. And Deacon Ryan LaRue will lead us in a prayer for that offering.
Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we come to you today with thankful hearts. We are thankful that you have used many different causes and organizations that we support to further your kingdom, to meet the needs of your people, to show grace to the world around us. We are thankful that we are able to bring an offering to you today, that you have given to us the means to offer something back. We pray that our gifts might be a blessing to further the work of the Christian schools that we support, our missions and church plants, the many Christian service organizations we support, and also the needs of our church here. May you give to us a heart of a cheerful giver. In your name alone we pray. Amen.